All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. Chad and I are joined by Jordan Royburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. And Jordan, last segment, we talked a lot about gold stocks. In this segment, I want to get some of your updates on gold's technicals and also that environment for gold stocks. Let's start off with gold's technicals here. Gold had kind of a mixed week, I guess, again this week, but quite frankly, gold has rebounded from about 1750 level. It's not a straight up move, but at least there's maybe a short term uptrend. Either way, still a lot of work for gold to do on the upside, I think, to bring in more investors. What are some of the key levels that you are looking at right now here, Jordan, when it comes to the gold chart?
Well, yeah, I mean, we got a short term low in gold, and what we've seen over the last couple of days or the last week or two is, we see gold, or we see the gold stocks, we see relative weakness there, and we see gold is starting to outperform silver again, which makes sense with the macro environment. So, the rally that we're having, it's an oversold bounce. That those kind of things are indicative of a weak market. But as far as the levels for gold, I mean, I see on my screen it's up to 1812 and change. If you look at where I think the 50 and the 200 day are both right about 1833. If you're just looking at the price action itself, I can see gold getting up to the 1840 range. I think your absolute best case scenario is 1850. So my guess is we see this rally peter out around 1840-ish.
That would be another lower high for gold. That would be a continuation of this downtrend. Jordan, let's split it up between short-term and long-term. Long-term outlook, when you look at the monthly chart, even the weekly chart. Okay, look, gold still has this upward bias because of the nice run it went through 2019 through the first half of 2020. But the last about 10 months, it's almost been a short-term bear market for gold. So that's been struggling on that end. And even if the recent or next high is 1850, that's another lower high. What's your balance here between long-term, I guess, bullish still looking charts, but short-term kind of bearish charts?
Yeah, I mean, it's still in correction mode that began last August. So we're a few weeks away from 1 year of the correction. And, gold had a pretty strong move, I think 75% in 2 years, and that has to be corrected. Now, what's disappointing is not the correction. What's disappointing is the fact that gold has not been able to consolidate in a bullish fashion. And so what I mean is you have the clear resistance now at 1900 on the weekly, monthly, quarterly charts. I mean, you also have 1950 on the daily chart. You know, the high is, let's just call it near 2100. So it's in the upper 2000s there. So gold is consolidating and correcting, but I mean, it hasn't been able to trade up near the old highs. But if you go back to the 2000s when it was consolidating several times, it did so in a more bullish fashion to the way that it's doing now. So that's the disappointment, is that it's clearly correcting. It's not consolidating bullishly. I mean, I had some hope after last month, or was it after May? I had some hope after May. We got into June. Maybe we can consolidate and build this handle in a bullish fashion. But that just went out the window. We saw huge selling at the beginning of June. So, I mean, that's where we are. I mean, we're still building the handle on this pattern. And like I said, you know, a week or two ago, gold could come down and test 1575 and the handle would still be intact. So, and the other thing with the handle, we were talking about the time. I mean, the handle could take 3 years to form. It could take another 2 years to form. And gold could come down to 1575 and consolidate for another couple of years. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying, look, if we're taking a bird's eye view, those things are possibilities for sure. And we can't completely rule them out at this point. So, yes, very big picture, long term. I'm very confident that gold is going to, you know, eventually break out of this handle. You know, my bias is I think it's going to happen sometime next year. But if I'm wrong, you know, it could be 2023, the year after. I know that sounds terrible. And, you know, what's really going to matter is a lot of the macro developments. I mean, guys like me will be looking at charts, I mean, predicting all of these things based off lines, but it's really going to be the macro developments that are going to tell us where the market will go. I mean, I know we don't have that much time, but that's possibly something we could get into unless you want to discuss something else.
Well, Jordan, I would like to just maybe take the other side of this discussion, because the focus at the beginning here was on the, you know, the lower highs. But if you back up a little bit and take the macro picture on the price action, you know, we had the pandemic crash down to 1450 in gold. And then we had the March double bottom around 1673, 1675. If gold breaks that 1675 and starts heading down, that would be pretty bad. That would cause some chart damage. But if it can put in a higher low here where it may have just done that, and keep consolidating, then the move we saw higher in April and May could have been the beginning of a move higher. And yeah, we pulled back in June, but if we put in a higher low, which is, you know, the other side of the equation here, couldn't this still be part of a trend where it's gradually working its way higher?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm wrong, you would see gold on the daily chart. First, it's got to get above that high around 1905, 1910. And then it has to rally up to 1950. I mean, if gold can rally up to 1950 on this leg, then we can presume that the bottom has been in and the correction is over. I just, you know, if you look at the in real term, you know, one thing you mentioned, gold had that, you know, the COVID crash. But even, you know, immediately after the COVID crash, gold was outperforming everything. If you look at the relative, the ratio charts, gold against the stock market, I mean, that's at a multi-year low. Gold just in real term, you know, I'm not seeing any divergences. Like, gold is not diverging as far as gold against foreign currencies. So the market is really, really weak. And I just don't have a lot of hope that it's going to, you know, rally up to 1950. But I mean, that is a case, you know, you always have to keep in mind the other case or other cases that can prove you wrong, because nobody can predict the future. And I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. And I will be wrong in the future, but that's kind of that's the technical outlook right now. I mean, gold, this rally has got to get up to at least 1900, 1905, that high. And then if it can go to 1950, that would tell me the correction is over. But, you know, that's my bias, is it's going to fizzle out around 1840, 1845.
Okay. Well, that gives us some levels to watch. Jordan, what about some of the other markets that sometimes have impacts on the precious metals, either the U.S. dollar, which went through a bit of a bounce this week, and interest rates? I'm curious to hear your thoughts on interest rates, because those have been dropping. Outside of the bounce on Friday, we had the 10-year below 1.3% and continuing on a downtrend. What's your takeaway from any of the impacts from the U.S. dollar or interest rates that they could have on gold?
Well, the positive impact, I mean, we're seeing, I guess, the negative impact now on the market, but, you know, as inflation expectations come down dramatically. But the positive impact is if we see yields continue to fall, the dollar pops up a little bit more, and it hits the stock market. In the stock market, you finally get like a 15% correction, because the stock market, it looks, I mean, if you look at a number of breadth charts, I just see all these charts coming my way on Twitter, and they all make a strong argument that the stock market should correct soon. We're not even talking about a huge crash like, you know, all the gold bugs talk about daily, but just like if you get a 10 or 15% real correction because of, whether, you know, you have a stronger dollar, you have bond yields are coming down, so then people are worried about growth. That is something that can propel gold and gold stocks, especially, higher for a good medium-term rally. I would say the downside is, in that environment, you're still going to see gold outperform silver. So that if we're looking for a bullish catalyst for gold over the next couple months, that's what it has to be, in my opinion. It has to be the stock market having a real correction, and that, you know, that could help precious metals. Maybe that's enough to take gold up to 1900 or 1950, like we were talking about before. So I would keep an eye on that. It's a little presumptuous on my part. We have to see a few more things play out, but I do think if we do get a 10 or 15% correction in the stock market, precious metals will be higher.
Well, let's shift things over to the mining stocks, Jordan, because right now, let's just say it's roughly $1,800 gold, $26 silver. it's an environment where most of the producers are still doing quite well, even though they have sold off pretty hard this week and last week. And it's an environment where development projects, you know, if they're priced anywhere close to the current levels of gold or silver, are becoming increasingly more valuable. So it's really an interesting dynamic where the sentiment is pretty bad in the sector right now, but the prices are not that bad. I mean, if you look at the long-term picture, these are great prices for producers and developers, and the explorers are going to move agnostic of the price if they make a discovery. But there has been pressure in the stock. So how are you looking at it from a big picture, you know, looking at GDX or GDXJ or SILJ? And then how do you look at it when you kind of trickle down into the juniors?
Well, I mean, on an individual stock basis, I think you have to look at things fundamentally. And I mean, I am looking at, you know, I have seen some junior producers sell off considerably. There's one I added to my watch list last week. So I am looking at, again, and we talked about this before, let's just remove metals prices from the equation when you're looking at these things and then factor in, okay, who's going to add value over the next year or two? And, you know, I think those are the companies that you want to buy. So if you have a junior producer that's growing production, you know, they're in a healthy cash position, you know, they have the ability to grow their production materially without, you know, taking on hundreds of millions of debt or damaging their share structure. I mean, those are the things that I think you have really good entry points here. You know, maybe they have another 10 or 15% downside, but, you know, in a flat market in the next 2 years from now, they can add a significant amount of value. So that's, I mean, it's easier with producers and developers to factor that in, kind of quantify their potential in this kind of market. With explorers, I mean, it's more difficult, and there's, you know, it's hard to put all the explorers in one group, but that's a lot more difficult in my opinion. There's just a lot. I mean, it's more unpredictable, and, you know, you have to look and find, see if you can find really good values. I mean, there are some that are out there, but you really have to hone in on the fundamentals, you know, what they're looking for, the odds of them finding it, then what it would be valued in the market. You know, what is their share structure going to look like in 18 months? You know, what will the value of what they find be versus the gold price? So those are the things that I'm looking at. But I think initially I'm, you know, drawn a little bit more towards growth oriented producers just because there's more predictability there right now. And I mean, explorers, you know, they can lag the market. I mean, there's always a chance you can get into those. So I would focus more on, I mean, I always say quality, but it's, for me, in terms of quality, I'm looking for, you know, fundamental value and their ability to add value to that project, regardless of metals prices. So that's what I would try and do. But look, we are, despite the correction, we are seeing a lot more value out there compared to just a couple months ago, and definitely compared to a year ago. So that's the good news. We are seeing a lot of quality companies that are trading at much, much better values than the recent past and the distant past.
Yeah, you raise a great point there, Jordan, because if people liked these stocks last summer in August, when they were quite a bit higher, and the companies are moving the ball down the road and companies are cashed up, they're drilling, they're doing economic studies, they're doing metallurgical work, they're doing legitimate work, they're bringing in secondary deposits into production if they're a producer, then if people liked those companies last summer at much higher levels, there is value on sale right now that people could cherry pick and you know, get positioned in. But the only reason I had brought up price in the prior question was I was wondering when generalist investors are going to be interested in the sector again. And you would think at one point, if the larger seniors and some even the mid-tiers, really, that middle 60, 70 companies that are producing gold and silver, when they start putting out cash flow quarter after quarter and building up their balance sheets and improving their balance sheets, is there a point where some of the generalist investors are going to say, hey, these guys have cleaned up their act, they've really turned around the mining sector to some degree compared to the sins of the past? Is there a point where generalists and analysts will come into the space just because of the fundamentals of the business? That's where I was going with the price being where it's at now.
Yeah, it's when gold outperforms the stock market, which it's not doing because the stock market's going up. Other sectors are doing really well. And because of that, they have no need to get into the larger mining companies. And also, I mean, if you look at the technicals, I mean, gold's below the 200 day. I don't know where the 400 day is off the top of my head, but if you're just looking at a long-term chart, it doesn't look good. Yeah, there's a few generalists who are going to be bargain players, and they'll buy value if it sells off again. But for the most part, it's when you see the stock market run into trouble. And I mean, we do have to be, it's great that, I know that you know this, it's great that the large companies have, you know, they're in much better health, they're making money. That's all great. But, you know, the market looks forward. Gold's at 1811 right now. What happens if it drops to 1675 or, you know, 1650? So I think just technically, if I'm a generalist, I'm looking at gold and like, yeah, you know, it's consolidating, but it's weak. You know, yeah, I mean, maybe at some point I could get into it. And that some point will be when we see precious metals start to outperform the stock market. And so for that to happen, first you need a stock market correction, which we talked about before. And, you know, if that happens, we'll reassess if it's enough to really get precious metals going and sustaining it well into next year and beyond.
Yeah, good answer, Jordan, because I think it really does just come down to the overall environment for resources, right? And that's one of the tough things about mining that's outside of, say, tech, where there's an actual underlying fundamental metals price, where if you're a tech company and you can build up users, the sky's the limit, right? But with mining, you are tied to that underlying metals price. And if investors, generalists especially, see other opportunities or don't see that sector outperforming, well, naturally they get a bit distracted. What about that relationship, though, that we're seeing between metal stocks, even something like GDX and GDXJ, the ETFs, this whole week, they followed the markets. If the markets were down, they were down. Markets up, those stocks recovered. What do you make from that relationship that we're seeing right now?
I think that it's got to be driving people crazy, because you go back a couple months when we had the rally, and I probably even said at some point, I mean, I did a video, I said, look at how, you know, well, the miners are outperforming the metals. This is great. And, you know, we get a move down. It's just like they can't even, you know, they're badly underperforming. But, you know, I think, I mean, to your question, when the stock market corrects, we tend to see the miners be a little more drawn towards that than the gold price. Because also when the stock market corrects, you know, that's first and foremost, that's best for the gold price. So typically, if we're at the beginning of a correction in the stock market, maybe we aren't, let's say it continues to a 15% correction, the beginning of that, you're going to see gold strengthen, relatively speaking, first. And initially, you'll see the miners sell off, you know, with the stock market. But at some point, as the correction of the stock market progresses, you'll start to see the miners dig in a little bit more. And, you know, when you get to the second half of the correction, that could be when, you know, the miners start to rebound with gold, you know, gold rebounds as well. So that's how I look at that. It's just the fact of, you know, when the broader market is going to correct, when you kind of get to a risk off mode, like we're in a little bit, the miners will initially follow the stock market more so than gold.
Okay, Jordan, great chatting with you. Thank you for taking some time on this weekend show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. A pleasure putting together this show again and also covering a lot of stocks as we have been doing week after week. Please be sure to go back through all of our daily editorials, click on the ones that interest you, and definitely pay attention to the company ones. And keep the emails coming, either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you, and we do our best to follow up with all of your emails and the companies that you are asking about. Jordan, everyone else, thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of your weekend, everyone.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.